Do you know what else this makes me think of?
What's that?
That one part in Sharkboy and Lava Girl where Taylor Lautner as a small child is going, dream, 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 dream. Or my fist will knock you out.
Taylor Swift needs to bring him on stage to sing that. Dream.
That's a movie I haven't thought about in a good long while.
I think about Sharkboy and Lava Girl like once a day. If for no other reason than George Lopez, the Google Watch face. Because it's round.
Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I'm your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I'm also your host, Cassie. Hey, Zach, did you know? I didn't prepare a fun fact for this one. Fuck. Hey, Zach, did you
know? Well, I have a fun fact for you, Cassie.
What is it?
We have a special guest on this episode.
What?
Would you like to introduce yourself?
That's not allowed. This show's been going on for a year, and now you're introducing guests. As your number one fan, honestly, this is a sacrilege to the sanctity of Who Is My Doctor, and truly, I'm not sure if I can keep listening in best. Hi, I'm Jesse McAnally from the Cheese Wheel Podcast, and I am here to totally disrupt the vibes that you guys have developed for a year.
Well, sometimes it's good to have a little disruption. As we found out, you can totally radically change the cast of a show and it will go on for 50 years.
Well, that's like the one time I regenerated.
Yeah, that is true. You did have a piano dropped on you a couple of times.
I did have a piano dropped on me. Came back in this form still, which was astonishing to me.
I want to make jokes, but without spoilers. You know them in your head.
Well, yeah, no, I recognize these teeth.
Hey.
Disney Plus has spoiled some of that for her already.
Oh, dang.
Disney Plus definitely did spoil that. I don't know how that happens, though, so that is still a surprise to me. But
believe me, some of us are still wondering ourselves.
And there's also kind of a gap in it that I'm kind of hoping she'll forget the timing of it.
No. I don't. I'm like an elephant. I never forget.
Cassie, as someone that's been listening to you for a year, I don't think that's as true as we think.
No, I forget a lot.
That's entirely my strategy with this podcast is that I will let Cassie say something that is accidentally true, and I just won't reference it for 3 months and hope she's forgotten about it.
I will say there have been a couple times we've been watching shows, and he'll be like, huh, neat, that's a whatever, like, that's a prominent character in an episode of Doctor Who. I will run to get, because I take all my notes in a journal, I will book it to my journal and write down so large, like, this show, this character, a reference? I have at least one of those that is still pertinent that has not come up again, but I don't remember the character. I remember the show that we were watching. I don't remember the character or
like
who they
are. Like an elephant.
Like a silly elephant,
like an elephant goldfish,
more like a heffalump. We don't know the memory on those guys.
Well,
I am sorry to just. I know, Zach, you want to start a show here, but here's been a question I've been wanting to ask since we started this new tenure with Matt Smith. You've now had three doctors, Cassie.
Mm-hmm.
Tier list of them, mm-hmm. But who is the hottest?
Oh, you threw me for a loop with that one. I am super biased because, fun fact, the other day, last week, Zach was not feeling well, so he spent a lot of time snoozing in the other room. I, unemployed, had a lot of time to just kind of watch movies on my own. And because it was before spooky season, I went, oh, let me watch some of the ones that I haven't seen yet. So I put on the 2011 remake of Fright Night because I went, Colin Farrell's in that. And boy, howdy, do I love it's a secret thing. It takes me by surprise every time how attractive Colin Farrell is. And I went, he's a daddy vampire. Oh, I gotta watch this. the movie opens up with you see you see
Anton Yelchin.
It was the character is like, I want to say Vincent Price. That's not accurate. It's Vincent Prince.
Peter Vincent.
Thank you. And I went, that kind of looks like Adam Sandler, or not Adam Sandler, Ben Stiller. Fantastic. I love Ben Stiller. So excited. Thinking that it was just a throwaway thing just to like set the tone of the world. But then you meet him and I go, oh boy, that guy's really cool looking. I love his hair and accent. And then I went, hey, wait a second. And then it gets to the point where you're up in, spoilers for anybody who hasn't seen it, you get up to the point where you are in their, you're in his, like, penthouse, and he starts taking off his wig and his facial hair, and I went, oh, I know who that is! And I am a little autistic, and I couldn't control myself, so I threw everything on the floor and started running around in the hall, or, like, in the backspace, like in our kitchen area, going, no, nobody told me. I didn't know. And then I went into the back to make sure Zach was still sound asleep, little baby. So because of that, and because of the surprise David Tennant in the movie where I was expecting to only be thirsty for Colin Farrell, David Tennant is at the top.
Understandably.
Not necessarily as the Doctor. I've been finding that I like his other works more. Just because I don't like how the Doctor is written him.
If the 10th Doctor wore more leather pants, you might be you might have a different opinion.
If Tennant was wearing what Eccleston was wearing.
Okay.
He does for an episode for like 5 minutes.
Yes. And for that reason, I would say that I think Eccleston is second for me.
Oh, I love this. Okay.
Not for nothing else, but Matt Smith looks shockingly like one of my very best friends who I did have like a little bit of like a thing for. Everybody did. But it's one of those things where I'm like, you look like somebody that I think so highly of. And it's a little bit too close to home and not quite as removed. So I think for that reason, Smith has to be third, because it's just kind of freaky for me.
Fair enough. I'm so glad I asked this. I'm so happy right now.
I'm glad that it was like hotness level. As a woman, there's a part of me that's like, that's a little like it's the equivalent of who are you wearing? But I also really can't say that any one of the doctors has been my favorite so far, just because I mean,
do we want to add some extra flavor in there and put the third and fourth doctors in that ranking too?
Oh yes,
because you've seen them.
Can I make an addendum to that?
Sure.
Number one is the Master.
Okay.
Master, as I am blank. So
specifically, you're talking about Roger Delgado's Master.
Yes, absolutely. Because the other one, Tim something.
John Sim.
Yeah, John Sim. Thank you.
He has a squirrel, like a squirrely quality about me that I do like. It's a little bit more manic. But Roger Delgado takes the cake for all of this. Wow.
Yeah, that guy fucks.
Zach, I am now discovering a thing that you probably have to deal with every week with this show, or I just want to throw fun facts out there, but then I realize they're spoilers. So yep. I'm just like, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
Yep.
So I understand your pain. And now that I've thoroughly, within the first 5 minutes, derailed this show, Zach, please take it over.
Roger Delgado takes the cake for it all. I'm just so endeared by Tom Baker. I just wish he wasn't, at that time, a massive prick.
Yeah. Like, yeah, we're sort of putting aside, because we don't know them as people. Like, we sort of have vibes off of them as people. So I think we're just going off of aesthetic here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still think that Tenney is Roger Delgado S tier. Tenney is A.
Okay.
Still, mm-hmm. even with 3 and 4 added into the mix, these,
like velvet suits and
it too much, and he looks like one of my history professors from high school.
Yeah, that'd do it.
So
Well, everyone listening to this already knows Cassie's experience and kind of knows my experience with it from just us chatting about it. But Jesse, what's your experience with Doctor Who?
Oh, no one cares about this. So I'm going to speed run it. Watched it. I don't know. We're all in the Channel Awesome days. We all remember those days where that was just a website we would go to find random shit. Mm-hmm. And some, I think it was Nash or someone posted something about like ranking the classic Doctors. I had not seen a thing of Doctor Who, but I watched that. And I'm like, well, I'm in high school, got nothing going on. And I binged the entire classic era into the modern era. And I caught up to the end of season four. which was the end of Matt Smith's run, and that was where I jumped on to Doctor Who and I watched it live, and suddenly everything started getting bad as soon as, right after that.
Well, yeah, I guess we'll get into a little bit of that as we, when we get to those series.
Chaos in politics at the BBC mixed with a lot of pressure on is just all the context now, and it's there are some eras that I like better than that, and then it gets really good again, and then there's a regime change, and I completely fell off post-Capaldi and hopped back on recently with the new run.
Well,
and I feel like that's a lot of people's...
That is kind of the nice thing about Doctor Who, is there's a regime change every couple of years, and if you fell off, you can get back on. It's a story probably for many folks.
Can I have you out yourself a little bit?
Yes.
What year was it then that you were in high school? Or I think that's what you said. Like,
I think 2011, 2012 time.
Okay, so were you at the time then a Super Whoolock?
I was in that era, but I could not give a fuck about Sherlock or Supernatural.
So no.
I saw it. Like, I was a Doctor Who fan that just saw, like, if you were one of those, you kind of saw that stuff because it was all in the same bubble and on Tumblr, which people frequented back then. but I would not describe myself in that world.
That's fair.
But I was cringe about it. Like, I had the bow ties are cool t-shirt. Like, photos exist.
Just to, like, I don't talk to this person anymore, so, like, I can out him. I had a friend in high school who was the conductor of that train, and for every day in high school wore a bow tie because of Matt Smith. And when we asked about it, we were like, dude, why do you wear bow ties every single day? And he went, bow ties are cool. And I was like, this nerd. But now I'm watching it. I was like, oh, my God. He was copying. No, it wasn't even just like, oh, he was saying it because of Matt Smith. He said it the exact same way. And then after graduation was like, hey, guys, like, it's the end of an era. Like, I can't keep wearing the bow ties because bow ties don't really go with T-shirts and jeans as well as a formal school uniform. Because it was
If he's got a school uniform, I'd say, like, if there's one way to make yourself stand out, I kind of defend that.
And without giving, like, spilling too much info, because we don't want anybody to find him, it was a private school. So it was, like, slacks and a button-up shirt. And then on, like, special occasion formal days, it was a vest and... Or like a sweater vest and a blazer.
So we're bullying this poor man for finding a slight bit of individuality in a very regimented system.
He was a theater kid, too, so.
Oh, that's fine. I get it. Like, it's cringe.
In hindsight now, I'm like, oh, he was just really trying to, like you said, to find some speck of individuality to, like, really help make him stand out, but. At the time, we're like, you're such a nerd. You went Dr. Who. Meanwhile, I'm like, hey, has anybody else gotten all caught up on I Dream of Jeannie or Bewitched? Can you believe what Major Nelson did to Major Healy? Oh, neither can I. I'm still in that. I'm still so lost in that sauce. Forever.
Well, now that we've gotten completely off track here, let's get into a little bit of the actual episode. Today we are watching Series 5, Episode 7, Amy's Choice.
But this is Jesse's choice.
But this was his choice of episodes to be on.
Yes, it was.
And so Cassie, Jesse and I both know what happens in Amy's Choice.
Yeah.
What do you think might happen in an episode called Amy's Choice, given how the season has gone so far?
Okay. So I know that Rory is with us now.
Yes. Rory, we have just left the Vampires of Venice, and now Amy is with both of her boys. She calls them the Doctor and Rory.
We're not her boys. Yes, we are. So it could be one of two things, I think, where Amy does have to make a choice about which one of her boys she needs to save, do something with. I don't know why the Doctor would find himself in a space in which the only person who can save him is Amy, but I'm not going to not say that that couldn't happen. Or because now Rory is in the mix, it is a conversation that they're having of what to do next. And because Amy is the odd one out, they say, well, let's let Amy choose. Amy's choice.
Okay. I think those are pretty fair guesses.
Those are very valid guesses.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm getting better at this. Slowly.
Now we know a little bit about what your thoughts are here, but let's get into the proper predictions of Cassie here. Let's do the Cassie Profassi. And today we have a special Cassie Profassi because you have one question that is not from me. It is from our lovely guest here, Jesse.
What a surprise. I didn't predict that at all.
Would you like to ask your question, Jesse?
I am so sorry to do this to you. But I think it has been a little unfair that for a year you have been asking Cassie these very stressful questions without any proper context where she could have possibly answered them, aside from maybe a wink and a nod from you. I am on the other side equally stressed out with her. I can hear the pain in her voice. So
I've gotten astonishingly close, though, and astonishingly correct.
Yes, you have.
I'm still riding the high off of Horseshoe Crab.
Like, you shouldn't have had to guess Horseshoe Crab. So, Zachary.
But I did.
For the first time ever, I have been, if we remember the context of this show, I have been granted two separate Cassie Profassi points for two different reasons.
Fair.
That I have to give out how I like. So today, I am offering, for the first time ever, a Zachary Profactory, where, Zach, you have to guess these questions that I'm throwing at you. Okay. And if you are right, you have to give these 2 points to Cassie. So I got two questions for you.
I feel like I'm being shanghaied. Is this a mutiny? I think this is called a mutiny.
We didn't speak about this. This is all Jesse's doing. I supported it. I am 100% here. For my little plot point on the on my notes, I've just written plot twist.
Yeah, I mean, Zach, these are things he could answer. They are in the episode. Like, I'm not being unfair. Zach has seen the episode, though, so obviously we are weighting these at a different level. And you know what, Zach? I think that since of that, I have 2 points to give, but I have 3 questions. All you have to do is get 2 of them right.
Okay.
Okay, are you ready?
I am ready.
Cassie, you are going to be the judge, jury, Judy, and executioner here.
Yes.
All right, are you ready, Zach?
As ready as I guess I will be.
Okay. This episode features a guest star from famous British character actor Toby Jones, famous for playing Dobby the House Elf in the franchise from the Turf Lady. What is Toby Jones' mother's maiden name?
This, I will say, fun fact, I'm not entirely unemployed. I am also a trivia host. That is phrased exactly like some of the bullshit questions I have to ask where people are like, what is that answer? And I go, you have to figure it out. I get paid whether you get it correct or not.
You know, I'm a guy that plays the odds. I feel, so I'm going to go with Smith. I feel like that's a pretty casts a pretty wide net.
All right. I mean, are you sure?
I'm not sure. There's a lot of famous British last names. I have no idea what the answer to this is, but because I have no context for it, and I'm not able to think of a way to play in this space very much.
Yeah, now you know how it feels.
I mean, you gotta guess. I mean, are you really stuck with Smith?
I feel like Smith is the most common last name, especially in
here, though.
But it's also, I feel like it's also because of the English. So I feel like it has to be. I mean, I guess it doesn't have to be, but I feel like that has to be my guess, just as an effort to cast my net as wide as possible.
So are we locking in Smith?
Or I guess we're locking in Smith.
Okay, that's fine. We're locking in Smith. I mean, it very well could be. You ready for the next one, Zach?
I am ready for the next one.
This show features Matt Smith playing the character of the Doctor. He's also been in House of the Dragon. At 14:14 on Max, what is on screen?
At 14:14 on Max?
Yeah, at 14 minutes and 14 seconds on Max, what is on screen?
In this episode?
In this episode, yes.
Let's see.
Ouch. That's so specific. Holy cow. I mean, but it is also...
How would you guess Horseshoe Crab?
If a question like that was coming towards me, that is so fucking unfair. But you did watch this episode not too long ago.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what was happening about a third of the way in.
I can't even cheat and look it up.
Yeah, no, because I feel like because he mentioned House of the Dragon, it's got to have something to do with Game of Thrones.
Don't read into any of this. Don't read into any of this. Like, that is my hint. Don't think that you can trick. This is nonsense.
Don't think you have to go based off of whatever spirits are controlling you.
Yes.
It's you got to answer these questions with vibes.
Okay.
And Cassie's experience. She's had to go through this.
I'm going to say a playground.
Okay. Are you sure you want to stick with that?
Here you've got me in sort of a bind here because I don't want to spoil too much of the episode for Cassie, who is sitting here next to me.
That's why I tried to pick it early. That is sincerely why I tried to pick it relatively early,
because I do think this is a very fun, creative episode. And so I've got to be like, what's something that I know is in it around that mark, but won't like give away too much of what's happening.
Remember what we talked about earlier? I have the memory of a horse. So I will forget.
Yeah,
so unless I write it down.
I guess I'm going to go with playground. I don't feel confident about that one, but it's the only answer I can give that makes me feel like that could happen without spoiling some bigger moments in the episode.
That is completely fair. Let's move on to the third one. So if you get at least like two of these right, you get my own points. Yeah, you get your own points to deliver as you want. This is the last one, and you this was probably the easiest one.
Okay.
What kind of earrings are Amy wearing in this episode?
Are they hoop earrings? I think they're hoop earrings. I'm not great at jewelry, as evidenced by the fact that I wear none. I don't even wear a ring. I wear a watch and that's it. It's not even like a fancy watch. It's just not like an artistic watch. It's an Apple Watch.
With Same. A cool green stretchy band.
Yeah, so I'm going to say hoop earrings. I'm not 100% on that, but I'll go with that.
Could you guess the material that they're made from?
I think they're silver.
Okay.
If memory serves, but I'm not 100% on that.
All right, he is saying hoop earrings. These are decidedly less fair than the ones that you played, but I was playing a little unfair game out of my own stresses of listening to Cassie wander around for 20 minutes trying to, like, what animal might be in this episode? Fuck, I don't know.
I know. There are times, though, where I can argue my way. Like, the last one, I had said something nocturnal. He was like, it was actually eels, and I went, eels are nocturnal, though.
Well, I'd say it was fish, and you had made the argument that they were eel-like and eels are nocturnal. And I went, okay, I'll take it. Like, I don't consider myself to be unfair. I try to give her I either give her like multiple choice questions, or I'll like let something be a broad category. I don't try and give her like, what book is the Doctor reading in this episode?
Unless it's like his scary little River Song diary.
Yeah. I do still have a question for Cassie for the prophecy today.
Well,
if you want to use mine as well, but this was my Shanghai where I'm like, I had these 2 points and I had to bring something new.
Well, since Jesse did have the opportunity here and he decided to really ruin it for any future guests by making me question whether or not I can ever do this again. Jesse did tell me that he has a question for you, so I will go ahead and let him ask you the question for the professor.
Ruin it for any other guest. There's like two other people that consistently watch Doctor Who.
I'm sorry that I did this. I thought it was a funny bit, and I have no regrets.
I loved it.
All right, I will start with my true Cassie Profassi. Are you ready, Cassie?
Yes.
One of our three leads is sporting a new haircut in this episode. What is that haircut, and how is it received by their cohorts?
See, it's not even just who has the haircut. You asked her what the haircut is.
I thought, like, Cassie is like...
You claimed my question unfair, sir.
And not only what it is, how it's received.
I don't think it's that unfair. Reverse Cassie is Shanghai. Very detail-oriented.
Because my money is not on the doctor. Just because I can see so... I have such a vivid memory of so many promo photos of Matt Smith with his full head of hair. It's like a helmet almost. So I don't feel like it's him. But because of that, there's also equally a part of me that's like, but what if it is? And this is the trials and tribulations of me, the Cassie of the Profassi, where I say, it's not this. And then I go, hey, wait a second. What if it is? And how is it received? I suddenly forgot what all hair looks like.
All right, can I give you a hint?
Why don't we? Why don't I simplify it a little bit just to make it a little bit fair? Why don't you just tell us which of the three you think has the haircut?
Well, that's the only part of the question I'm concerned about.
Okay.
I'm not thinking about the style. I couldn't give two flying fucks what the style is.
Okay, so we'll throw out the style question just for the sake, because there's a lot of hairstyles. But we could say,
changes their hair, and what does everybody else say about it?
Is it positive or negative?
Yes, that is a much fairer question.
Fuck. Hey, Zach, I have a profassi for you.
Okay.
Who changes their hair? How is it received by the others?
I believe it was Bertrand. Bertrand changes his hair.
Somehow Peter Capaldi changes his hair.
Cromsley?
And everybody's going, who are you? Because you're not in this yet. okay. I think this might be one of the times where I just have to default to the doctor changes his hair and or Amy and Rory not make fun of, but do have a good lark because of him changing his hair.
Okay. So the doctor changes his hair and the other two laugh at him for it.
Not laugh, because it's not a ha-ha, you changed everything about you, but
get a chuckle out of it.
Perhaps.
Okay.
It's in the same way that, like, if you come out in a new shirt, I'll make fun of it, but then also I'm like, this is a new shirt. Look at him in his new shirt. So it's an uneasy, I'm going to make fun of to deflect the way that I'm actually feeling.
Okay. All right, then. And now for my
Profassi
point for the episode here. Much like this episode of our podcast features a special guest, so too does this episode feature a special guest lord. We already know that the Doctor is a Time Lord. However, we introduce a new kind of Lord in this episode. I have some options for you if you would like, or if you would just like to guess.
Yeah, because the first word I thought of was sauce. For context, I got a new bottle of hot sauce today, and it is good. And I'm thinking about more things I can put the hot sauce on.
Can I tell you something really funny?
What?
When I was writing down this question, one of the original options I had considered was Sauce Lord.
Really?
But it was so like, that's too silly. She'll know that one's fake. But you and I just share one brain.
Sauce Lord is my drag name.
Sauce Lord. That's me only when I make the one sauce. Because I don't make that much stuff. All right,
so your options for
new lord Christ
is are they the Dream Lord, okay, the Space Lord,
Okay.
Or the Sound Lord.
Ooh. So if you had put sauce in there, there's a non-zero chance we could have sauce, space, and sound.
Yes, that was. I think I kept going for like S words.
Long ago, the three nations were getting along, and then
everything changed.
Yeah, and then the spaghetti when the sauce nation sword attacked.
Fire sauce, Lord Ozai.
Yeah. Fire sauce sounds nasty. That's what happens after you eat fire sauce. You make more fire sauce. Talking about your butt. Okay. So dream, sound, and space. Because space was another... was the idea I'd had before sauce. Can I... Which one was going to be sauce?
No.
He saw through my ruse.
You really like trying to pull a who wants to be a millionaire 50-50 ask the audience thing you're doing right now with that lifeline.
Yep. Dream, space, sauce.
Sound, not sauce.
Okay, so I know it's not sound. Dream or space. I like the sound of Dream Lord, and because you have now not completely spilled the beans, but there is an element about this episode that you have said is, quote, like, fanciful and fun. I think that that means then that it makes more sense for that to happen in a dreamscape.
Wouldn't it make more sense in a spacescape?
Yes, but we're already in a, like, every episode is more or less in a spacescape.
Well, wouldn't you, if you met a Lord of Space, I mean.
Like, Lord of Space is whoever owns IKEA. Like, that's.
The Swedish.
Yeah, the Swedish are all space lords.
I'm the Lord of the Space. Twisting the dimensions around.
I like the sound of Dream Lord. I think it's because it sounds like Dream Finder. And I think that's one of the coolest names for a character that no longer exists.
All right.
So Dream Lord.
Dream Lord it is. All right. Well, let us find out if the Doctor is sporting a new hairstyle and if we get to meet the Dream Lord as we watch Amy's Choice with Jesse McAnally.
Woo!
I've ruined everything! Let's go!
This episode of Who Is My Doctor is not brought to you by the Cheese Wheel Podcast. Hey gang, you may have noticed we have a special guest on this episode, and he was supposed to send us an ad promoting his excellent podcast, the Cheese Wheel Podcast, where Jesse, Andrew, and Liz spin a stupid wheel to determine their dumb obsessions and talk about it in ways that are definitely not hilarious and entertaining. They also definitely don't have interesting and funny guests like Sideways, Brentalfloss, Emily Clark, or Cassie and I.
Whisper.
I don't care if that was a previous version of the podcast. They're not the sponsor. So whatever you do, don't go to wherever you get your podcast and subscribe to the Cheese Wheel Podcast. The Cheese Wheel Podcast, because this friendship is full of holes!
Like Swiss!
Shut up, Cassie! And we are back from Amy's Choice.
Man, when Doctor Who does their Sophie's Choice, they go hard.
But Zach, wasn't it obvious? It was me all along.
I mean, it was a blatant twist. They gave you breadcrumbs. He had a bow tie.
He had a bow tie and a tweed suit.
And a poncho.
But he was a house elf.
Well, to be fair, Matt Smith kind of has some house elf vibes himself.
Now we're speaking into existence for that Max show that they're going to make that fucking Matt Smith is going to play Dobby.
Interesting.
Not the worst casting, but also that show shouldn't exist.
No, that is the least of my problems now with our political climate. Which climate? Yes.
But let's just say prior to the Dream Lord was me all along, how are you feeling about the episode, Cassie?
I'm feeling a lot of things. First, it appears that you got one of your questions right.
I did get one of my questions right. Surprisingly, at 14 minutes, 14 seconds, there is, in fact, a playground.
I was so happy when you got that, because I felt the vibe be a little less fun and goofy when I pulled this out than I hoped it would be. So when you got one right, I was very glad.
You had said playground or the sun, and I went, the sun that the old lady said when she looked at Matt Smith and said, you're the same size as my son, as she was forcing a knitted sweater on him. And
I had meant the cold star.
Do we
star.
See this, that sun?
Yeah, I had wondered if it was the cold star. But that was why I was like, I don't want to say that because I don't want to spoil like the cold star element of the story.
Right.
So I was like, I know there's something that's like, there that's not going to be spoiler. And I was like, I feel like around that time they go to the playground. And so that's what I had said. And I was right. I am victorious. What were the other two answers to the.
The first one, no way to know this, not said in the episode, just kind of being a dick. His mother's maiden name is Hesselwood. In fact, Toby Jones includes that in his true proper legal name. It's Toby Hesselwood Jones.
Hesselwood. Oh, okay. Hesselwood?
There's no version of reality where I would have guessed that. There are not enough monkeys with typewriters to have made that in my brain.
I think a good guess. Smith was a very fine guess. And then the other question was, what kind of earrings were Amy wearing in this episode? You said hoop earrings that were silver, which she was not. Did you catch what earrings she was wearing?
No.
Cassie, did you?
Yeah, they were little silver like posts,
little stud. They kind of look like pearls to me, like little pearls with like stones all around them.
Yeah, I didn't see like the specifics of them, but I did clock that they were not hoops.
Yeah, I guess they're stud earrings either way. So yeah. It's just earrings are not a thing on my radar. Generally, I'm not a jewelry guy,
which is so funny because I have. So many.
It's true.
So many. I put new ones on for today. I was wearing some this morning. I switched them out and put new ones on halfway through the day. The audience doesn't need to know that. They don't need logic. I'm just a wacky, silly little guy that changes his outfit halfway through the day.
Little guy.
If you want me to ruin the fun of film production a little bit, you will rarely see any hanging or hooped earrings because they make too much sounds on microphones on actors. So often you will see them wearing studs or something like that.
That and also any sort of earring like that has a proclivity to flip and move around and be inconsistent as well.
So I've learned that as someone that's like, I want my actor to have statement earrings and all that. I'm like, no, they don't. They're just a scene. We're done with this after this scene.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then for Cassie's Profassi points, yeah. You were incorrect. The doctor does not have a new hairstyle. It was Rory who has a little rat tail.
But the others do have a lark about it.
They do have a little bit of about it.
Points.
That could go in the chum bucket.
We'll put that in the bucket here and we'll just shake those around and see when we get another point. Mm-hmm. And then, but you were correct that this was about the Dream Lord. Toby Whithouse was playing the Dream Lord that creates Amy's choice.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a mm-hmm. little bit about the episode itself.
Before we do that, I need to put for the record, that means today Cassie got 2 points. One from the question you got wrong and one from the one that she got right.
Okay. All right, then. So 2 points, 2 points in the Cassie pile.
Nice. It's very important to me as a listener myself who is keeping copious notes.
Who's slowly building the Wimdy Pod Wikipedia.
Yes.
The Wimdypedia.
The tropes, TV tropes page. It's all coming together.
So does that mean then that my total points count is 133 or is it still 132?
It's still 132. Okay. It's based on the number of questions I ask.
Ask me. So we are 78 out of 132. Not too shabby.
Yeah, still getting still punching above half there. Mm-hmm.
So Cassie, you like the episode?
I had a lot of feelings about the episode, yes.
Well, what are those feelings?
Wasn't it obvious? You fucking kidding me? Are you actually kidding? Every time this show turns, or like, we'll get to an episode where I'm like, all right, I get it. And then silly bullshit like that happens, and I go, no!
Because I mean, I feel like that wouldn't be out of place in some of your favorite shows like Adventure Time or Steven Universe.
That's different. Those are nonsensical. Steven Universe, though, we're not bringing them. Get out of the room, Steven. We're not bringing him into this conversation because the only show that has nothing truly to do with the entire series is the fucking crossover with Uncle Grandpa. I will skip that episode like it'll make me sick. That one has nothing to do. Everything else, though, has its reason and placement in the series for a particular reason. This, however, does not have that same quality.
Okay, I am so fascinated because the thing that bothers you about the end of the episode is not the thing that bothers me. The thing that bothers me is like, oh, it's just a speck of bullshit that was somehow in my TARDIS that caused all the problem.
It's that whole premise of the, like, I think the term for that would be almost Deus Ex Machina. But it's not the God machine. It's not an answer from above that answers the questions that are happening down below, because that is more common in Greek theater, thus the term. But it is that, like, oh, yeah, this was the issue all along. Because it truly
is. It feels like a rug pull is what you're getting at.
I suppose. Because it's not like, everybody pans out and wakes up to see that Amy has some kind of, like, that there is some mental parasite that is causing this that they got on their previous adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's something that was so small and minute and has never been hinted at before and most likely will never be discussed again. Because even the Dream Lord's, like, reference to, because I got mad, it's not a purple intergalactic space dog. Or it was something about having a purple intergalactic space dog.
Well, he was describing, like, all the things about the doctor that makes him a bit twee.
Yeah.
He's like, with your big hair and your first year fashion student suit, I'm surprised you don't have a purple space dog.
Yeah, if you're referring to yourself, then, my guy, you know you have a metal dog. And that dog is my friend.
Affirmative.
Affirmative.
Affirmative. Okay, we've all said it now. Yes, mistress. I did.
Yes, but the thing that I think makes this episode sing a lot better than it did in a similar premise, where Russell T. Davies also did a lot of these kind of rug pulls where it kind of invalidates the plot, is that the actual story and the character development from point A to point C is very strong, and the emotional integrity is still there.
I will say, I do like an episode that shows character growth.
Yes.
Because that's something that I think really got me down about the beginning of Tenet's run in particular, is you would have these episodes where there were revelations made, and like, huh, yeah, I guess I do feel this way about whatever. Specifically, like, Rose would have an episode where she does realize how much she loves and cares about Mickey. And then the next episode, the next day, she's bashing on Mickey. It's like, didn't you just have a moment where you decided or saw how important this person was to you? And now you're just... So there is a part of me that's like, as long as the changes that were made in how Amy sees Rory stick, I understand that this is a good episode then. And I respect that. I don't like psychic space pollen getting heated up and causing hallucinations. Are you
I mean,
what?
What is that if not just a bad trip?
Even if that was something where they were like, oh, whoops, we accidentally ate something. If that was the thing, even if it was a, like, whoops, yeah, something got in our food and we ingested something, because then you could boil that down to, like, oh, you were all on drugs. I don't know.
What if it was, like, dream gas or something? Like, oh, some magic dream gas came into the TARDIS and made us all high for a bit, and we had to get rid of that.
We went through a specific spot in space and time where there was hallucinogenic space whale piss. I don't know. There's so many other bullshit reasons why they could have all been dreaming the same dream. And superheated particles of pollen makes me so unreasonably angry. As does Rory's stupid ponytail.
That was a character moment. The ponytail was representative of what he was willing to give up for Amy.
Character.
Yes, it was. It does tell you a lot about Rory that, like, his idea of
that
being,
he can let himself go.
Well, it was, they sort of established that Rory's idea of, like, becoming an interesting person is just to make bigger decisions. Like, instead of becoming a nurse, he becomes a doctor. Instead of living in this small town, he lives in the upper part of this small town, and he grows out a ponytail. Like, it's not that he doesn't think of himself as being interesting enough to be a hero, but he does think that he needs to be making bolder decisions with his life.
Cassie, did you catch the callback to David Tennant's era when the Dream Lord brought up Elizabeth I?
Yes, I did. I did clock that and I went, huh, Elizabeth I, that's important. And then I didn't write it down.
Because I'm like, because I'd watched this a few days ago and forgot about that. I'm like, oh, I guess the context of putting it in, we were so in a drought of David Tennant continuity because it kind of just felt like a new show when at this point. So we're just like, oh, okay, we're still there. We're still in the same world.
I think, well, because we've gotten a couple instances, or at least, oh yeah, now we've had two different instances where there is a reference to the Doctor's past. It was the first episode where he specifically asked, do you know who I am? Look me up, I think it was. And it was just a, like, we'll call it a slideshow of an image of every Doctor leading up to Matt Smith. And then we've had, I suppose I wasn't in the show, huh? That was Secrets of the TARDIS?
No. Oh, yes. And so you haven't seen this yet, Jesse. But in the last episode, we watched Meanwhile in the TARDIS.
Meanwhile.
Those little shorts.
Gotcha.
They show a showcase of all the different companions.
Female companions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, only.
Yeah, because they could have shown the little robot dog.
Yeah, but they chose not to.
Didn't show Aldrich. Avoided a few important players, in my opinion.
K-9 being the biggest one.
In that short, they even point out the TARDIS is kind of like taking the piss out of the Doctor and specifically omitted K-9 because Matt Smith is just like, didn't show the robot dog, did you?
I thought you also said, though, that there was a man at some point who was also a doctor.
There are a few different male companions.
Okay.
There's Jamie. A child genius by the name of Adric. One of his first companions were his first three companions were his granddaughter Susan and her high school teachers, one of whom is a man.
Okay.
And then there's other ones that are there have been other men in the line too.
What I'm getting at though is you can count the male companions on a hand.
I think on both hands, yeah.
Yeah.
K-9 excluded.
K-9's more than a man.
He's
man's best friend.
Whoa!
Did you have any theories on which one was the real world and which one was the fake world while you were watching Cassie? Or were you pretty...
I had a feeling that them being back in the TARDIS was the real world simply because we left off in the TARDIS. Or... the ending of the previous episode had them in the TARDIS. And also there was no conversation had after Rory, like, joined in, other than Amy specifically telling him to, like, join us, like, come with us. I thought it a bit odd, the fact that the episode would start 5 years later when there had never been a conversation about them going back to Earth, particularly since everybody has been telling Amy, like, oh, once you go in, you can't ever go back. And so even if that had been the case where it was a dramatic jump 5 years in the future, to be back where they started, I was like, this is not right. This is an odd choice, even for somebody like Amy, who is prone to dramatic decisions. To stay exactly where she came from is not one of those decisions that I would expect.
So I knew all along. And then the stupid bird sounds. I caught that real fast.
Yes, there were bird sounds that always signaled when they were about to fall asleep and enter the other dream.
Okay. You guys brought up I brought up while watching just a memory of the Tumblr times of Doctor Who, mm-hmm. when we're introduced to Rory and we're kind of in this world. One of the most popular ones was that Rory was actually the Master in disguise. And I kind of dug it. Like, it was like one of those, wait a second. Do you remember this? Because this got a lot of traction in the day.
I don't remember that, actually. That doesn't sound
so
familiar.
That's so funny. Wait.
Because it was like Taylor Swift level of delusion, where they were like, well, he's not impressed by the TARDIS. He figured out exactly what's going on. He kind of popped up and is always there. There's like a weird antagonism to him. He seems to know things before things are explained to him. And I'm just like, that's narrative. That's a narrative piece. But
yeah,
what
you're just describing is men. You're just describing men with a hot girl present. That's what, or at least heterosexual men with a hot girl present.
But I'm just imagining what that could have looked like if that was a twist in like season 7.
Just like in season 7, he turns around, he's got the full, like, goatee, the Roger Delgado goatee.
Fuck. He starts glitching out halfway through, and you can see right through the skeleton.
Like, part of his face falls off, and you can see John Sim.
I think he would have been an interesting choice for the Master, sincerely.
If they put it now, if for any moment of, or, like, amount of time they put Rory in a black hoodie, I could buy into that.
Because that's what the Master is.
Because that's
hoodies.
Been my favorite Master outfit is him just wearing sweaties.
But yeah, I kept thinking about that. And this episode, they brought up specifically about him not really being concerned and wanting basically to get out of the TARDIS. Because I don't know. For some reason, this was always a linchpin episode into that theory.
That's so funny. It's so funny because it's malarkey.
And like there's more hints, mostly in season 6, that I don't want to give away. But there was enough where I'm like, okay, that's at least a theory. Yeah, but Moffat's not that smart.
And bounds.
Yeah, yeah. Like you had a fun thought in the shower one day, and then just decided to like tether as many things as you could to that corkboard.
You had to write an essay for your for just a film writing class, and went, "What is the one thing I can write about that has no concrete evidence that I can really flesh out and put my whole heart and soul in?" I know.
But how are you liking Rory so far? See, I've not listened to really a Rory episode with you guys yet, so.
Yeah, because those haven't come out yet.
Spoilers. I don't know. He's just kind of boring. Like, I liked Mickey so much. And especially after Mickey left and came back and then was now Mickey the badass. Mickey with a gun.
Yeah, I mean, I think they also kind of, especially in these early episodes, they do make Rory out to be kind of a stick in the mud.
Yes.
He is somebody that I look at and go, oh, man, because if you know anything about me, it's I am not prone to liking any sort of like man straight out the gate. You really have to impress me. And I have not been impressed by Rory.
I mean, I will say that I think part of what this episode was getting at, because one of my like hangups with it myself is that the choice really does get boiled down to. Pick whichever man you like more. Pick your favorite boy. And I'm like, that there's a part of it where like that's not necessarily a point that isn't worth discussing with someone is like what they're attracted to. But I think I wish it was leaned a little more heavily that I think what they're really asking Amy to choose between is fantasy and reality. She's being asked to pick between a real guy that is like stable and like cares for her and
apparently has a huge dick, according to what he says. In comparatively, all of his bits work.
Or at least has a cold resistant dick. Meanwhile, or alternatively against the doctor who
does not have a cold resistant
dick. Doesn't even
dick.
Have really a home. He lives in his car. That takes him through time and space.
I've never seen a car, though, with a pool in it.
goes wherever he wants, shows up, saves the day, leaves, and doesn't really, like, stick anywhere prominently. But on the other hand, he's got a much bigger flashlight. As we learned in the last episode.
Wait, hold on, pause. Is the TARDIS just a fancier RV?
I mean, it's sort of a houseboat.
Like a camper van.
So there's a part of me where I do kind of wish they had leaned a little harder into she's not just picking between two different dudes. She's picking between what her life ultimately will be, which is she going to continue daydreaming and pursuing this fantasy, or is she going to try and become an adult and live in reality with her nurse fiance?
I think another issue I have with this is I understand that, and I'm seeing where both arguments are coming from. I think my hang up right now is its placement in the grand scope of the episodes we've seen.
Okay.
Like if this was the choice she had to make. Like, if this was, like, the penultimate episode.
Okay.
Where it was, like, this is her choosing Rory. This is her choosing to stay with Rory and bid the Doctor adieu.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's... Because, like, yes, we know these characters by proxy. We know the Doctor through past Doctors, and there's still a part of me that's like, we're still kind of getting to know this one. We know that he does have a, like, manic pixie dream girl quality about him. And Amy, there's a part that's like, I have only really seen this, like, not one dimension, but it's the, like, we know that Amy is actively running away from something that she doesn't really want to do or doesn't seem like she wants to do and is hot for the Doctor and has a little bit of a mouth on her. That kind of feels it for her character.
Okay.
Well, now I've got a question.
Well,
Cassie, I hope I'm not interrupting.
Nah.
We're still fairly early into the season-ish, and we have this kind of big choice episode. What do you think is coming ahead for these characters with the remaining episodes?
That's the thing, is I don't feel like there is a lot more that you can do. Because already we've established that Amy is a character with, like, she has a home, but she doesn't seem to have any real, like, nuclear family element, nor has she had any kind of nuclear, like, family in a very long time. So subjectively, she kind of makes for the perfect companion because she doesn't have anything tying her down. Other than Rory. But the fact that he's still here with us and he's, like, joining us, or I'm using the term us as in, like, audience, doctor, and companion.
Mm-hmm.
So, for us.
So you're saying that Amy might be more interesting if she was untethered?
I think that she would be more interesting if she was tethered.
Okay.
Because, like, I was having a conversation with people who were really, like, bashing on Rose. And I realized in that moment, I think Rose might be my favorite companion. If for no other reason than, like, I could see, and it's not surprising if, it's not surprising that I would, like, identify with Rose, just, like, on a more personal note, keep this in if you would like or not. Rose's mom is exactly like my mom. Exactly. But as we were watching it, I could go, okay, cool. I can see why so many girlies back in 2010s glommed onto Rose the way that they did, because she is identifiable. She is like Lizzie McGuire. She was a pop star for hell's sake. Like, you know, so it's very easy for you to glom on and be like, okay, cool. Like, I could definitely see myself in this position too. I am also a normal girl working a retail job that would just love to be spirited away by man in a leather jacket. That's awesome. I like this. I like her, Amy's introduction to this doctor way more. I think that's awesome that he is somebody that visited her as a child. And so for many years, she just chalked it up to, this is my imaginary friend. And that's what she has to convince. She's gaslighting herself. But that sort of like magic is gone. Just because now it's becoming a little too real. As we've seen her actively kicking off her shoes and trying to lay the doctor down. And so there is a part of me that's like, I do kind of wish that there was still this like wanderstruck quality about her being like, wow, the doctor is a real person. He's not an imaginary friend that I've made up. I need to sit down and unpack some of these things and not thrust myself upon him after only having met him what would be like 2 days ago.
I am so fascinated to how Cassie's going to feel by the end of the season. And that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Because also, I do know where this goes. So
yeah. Yeah. You and I are kind of sharing knowing looks here.
So I like to play a game called Who Is My Dogter? Woof, woof. And I thought it would be really fun. Yeah. I thought it would be really fun if you played along with us. Because now I've gotten a couple episodes now to watch and observe Matt Smith. For context, I love animals. I know about so many dogs and cats, which is why I think I said that Christopher Eccleston was a cat. I don't see him as a dog. But we have now played Who Is My Doctor with...
I think we've done it with Eccleston, with Tennant, and I think we did it with both our classic doctors.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
But it was very, like, oh, it's...
Like, you obviously didn't have, like, episodes and episodes. You just had a story for each of them to...
Yeah. But, I mean, the episodes are, or the story is long enough to be like, okay, cool. I've got a vibe. So, bearing that in mind, we get to play another round of Who Is My Doctor?
You gotta make like a full like arf arf sound effect, like a Christmas Cats kind of musical version of Doctor Who theme for that.
One of these days I'll get around to doing that.
Today is not that day.
But what were you thinking? What's your vibe right now?
So the thing that I'm really leaning into is that this doctor, Matt Smith, is way more manic. He's constantly working on something and constantly on his feet running. That is something that has been established, I think, by Tennant, that the doctor runs a lot. But I think Smith really embodies it, how much he is running.
Okay.
So it has to be a dog that is I would argue it has to be a dog that is more of the like working class variety, and something that is constantly like checking in on people and working on like 18 things at once. So a highly trainable dog. Aesthetics, I do think that something more akin to like a Labradoodle fits, but Labradoodle personality is not that of Tennant. He has something more akin to like a Border Collie. So something in that realm. I haven't quite decided if Border Collie is what I'm landing on, but that feels like that's kind of where I've been living.
Okay.
But I wanted to hear others' thoughts and opinions.
My first thought when I heard this is a multi-poo. They are so stinking cute, and I don't know why, just I look at this stupid face and I'm just like, that looks like Matt Smith. This guy, come on, this guy with the floppy hair and the long face, I just kind of see that vibe.
Yeah,
I mean, you're not wrong. I can
small
definitely see
eyes.
It. I know it's kind of a basic answer, but I feel like Matt Smith has some golden retriever energy. Like there's a part of him that just feels like he wants to go outside and play at all times, and he's just like kind of bouncing around.
On the contrary, though,
On the contrary, like golden retriever, yes. But what about like a husky? Just as you're talking, a dog that's going,
you know, I could kind of see that, especially with the way Matt Smith like gets when he gets very serious. Yeah. I will
talking,
say
thinking
from our
running very fast
from our there's the DeviantArt artist that we reference back to when we play this game.
I think that's what we've been using as the definitive. I think I like the idea of Matt Smith being a husky. Face wise, not so much, just because huskies are a little bit pointy.
This one just appears to be, as they've dubbed it, Mutt Smith.
Okay, I think that's also because his name is Matt, though.
Yeah, but that's
okay. But still but has still that has like pointy dog quality about him. Like he can be a husky mix.
Yeah, I can see. I can see some kind of
like some kind of husky multi poo.
Mm-hmm. A husky poo.
A husky poo. But yeah, it's the like interrupting dog quality that he has. So I think I'm putting my answer down on husky. You're doing golden retriever.
Yeah, I mean, but I also could very much see husky, especially with the way that like when Matt Smith when gets Matt very serious, there is a very like guard dog kind of quality about them that huskies have.
Well, because huskies are also very drawn to like they need to be in an environment where they can run around, like. They are bred to carry people across the tundra. This isn't the tundra that we are, but we did just see the doctor freezing. And, you know, having to be sat down to put a blanket on, even though he could just as easily scratch himself a little hole in the snow and be warm underneath. But that's a dog fact for you. Most huskies.
So, I mean, you kind of talked me into it. I can definitely agree with husky in this case.
I'm like an Alaskan Malamute, but I like husky. I, for simplicity's sake, we'll say Malamute or husky.
All right.
And that's been Who Is My Doctor? Woof woof. Ow.
All righty. So let's get back to the episode itself a little bit. What did you think about the, like, aside from the he's really the doctor in it.
Hasn't it been obvious?
How did you like Toby Whithouse as the Dream Lord?
Toby Jones.
How did you like Toby Jones as the Dream Lord?
I love him. He's perfect for this show.
Is right?
Like, there are certain actors where I look at them and go, God damn, you're perfect for this. He's one of them now where I wouldn't have pictured it. Especially since I think you're right. My thought of like, oh, I do know him from something is Captain America. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't watch that one often, but that is one of the Marvel movies I watch more than the others.
Mm-hmm.
But after seeing him in this context, I'm like, oh, yeah, no, he's absolutely perfect for a role in this show.
Yeah, and the way he can just sneer at someone with like a I don't think very highly of you, and you knowing that I think that makes you feel bad.
It's also the fact that because of his particular face shape, because he does have a little bit more of like a round, like a pug quality where it's like round and a little squishy. Mm-hmm. He looks simultaneously extremely old and very young.
Yeah.
So he does embody this, like, sort of how Lee Pace is, like, one of the most perfect castings for an elf,
mm-hmm.
because he's very pointy. It's like, of course he's an elf. Like, that's, he also strides and holds himself like this. Being a snickering little asshole is perfect for Toby Jones. I got his last name correct.
Together, you and I got there.
Yeah.
It's
usually how it goes.
How'd you feel about his outfit changes?
I only clocked the one where he was like leaning back
with a deep V. This,
yeah, of course, that's the only one I caught on to.
There was one later on when they're back in the village and he's wearing like a full suit with a hat. I don't know if you caught that one at all.
No, because the only time I really caught it was when we first pan back to the village and he's in a doctor outfit,
mm-hmm.
because that's what he's pretending to be. And then his little, like, dare I say, like,
steamy romance novel outfit.
Anything could happen.
Jeez.
Another one another one I really like is when they get all the ponchos on. And she's like, we're going to face this like a Peruvian folk band. And then the Dream Lord appears and now he's also wearing a poncho.
I feel like the one that you specifically were talking about, Jesse, was the romance cover.
Yeah, yeah, that one was specifically like, oh my, oh.
Oh, you've caught this old thing?
Children's television? Oh my.
If I had pearls, I would have been clutching them.
I swear to God, I don't remember the BBC letting this much horny stuff on show. Because I watch along with you guys, and I know it's become a thing, but Moffat is much hornier than I might have remembered.
That was another thing that I needed to address. Moffat has something, either it's, I don't want to call it like, oh, it's like a fetish. But he loves to fuck with people's mouths. Because every time it's the sharp, pointy, like, needle teeth, or in this case, it was the little, like, you know what all I could think about? You know the alien that's in the trash compactor in Star Wars?
Yeah.
That's all I could see coming out of their mouths. It's like, get back to your planet. But that was all I could imagine. But he loves to put things in people's mouths. Either needle teeth or eyeballs.
I mean, there's something very, like, I don't know. It's, I don't know if carnal's the right, visceral. There's something very visceral about something being in your mouth. Because as soon as you see it, you can feel it. Because you're immediately aware of the inside of your own mouth.
And it's very possible it's because there is no other context. But unless you're like... There's no time that something is coming out of your mouth unless it is like vomit or you're sticking your tongue out.
Yeah, yeah. There's also very few places where that is food related.
The only things that are looking at the obvious and saying, I know what everybody is thinking. There are other things that can go in your mouth.
Food.
It rhymes with
stick. Penis.
It rhymes. That's better. It rhymes with Venus. We get it. But other than that, do you food? And then sometimes food in reverse if it does not want to stay there. So I understand the, like, oh, that is very alien. Eyeballs don't come out of your mouth.
I also, there's also very few places, like, if something is hiding as a human, like, if they're looking human, there's very few places where you can, like, just hide something on somebody.
That's true.
A mouth is one of the few things that is closed and can open to reveal something.
I suppose
that
if
isn't
you
just
are,
like you show, like you taking off a shirt, like, or you having to like fully pop off a limb or a body part or something.
Imagine those old people whipping out a titty and being like, monsters.
Well, I'm just thinking too, like, technically, if you're some kind of parasite, like, that is a point of egress for you, is to go in, nest. But could you imagine if they just lifted up their shirts and they had like belly button alien?
Can you imagine if just imagine? Like through one of their nostrils you just saw that little eye like slowly drip down like a booger,
and just like ears.
Look at you, just like look at you and blink.
Ew. Well, yeah, because if you go up the sinus cavity, that's connecting you to your brain. Mm-hmm. So you could theoretically have this little like like nose demon. That's way scarier.
That's what I call seasonal allergies.
Nose demon.
I've got to deal with my nose demon right now. Give me the Claritin.
But yeah, it's something that I think you had brought up at the very beginning. I brought it up again in Vampires, and I will bring it up again now, is that there are Moffatisms,
mm-hmm.
and I think this is one of them.
Mm-hmm. I will say another Moffatism that we've kind of touched on in this episode are characters just being horny.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's some of the beef I had with very early on Tenet episodes was just how, like, everybody is wet for the Doctor. It's like, bear in mind, like, yes, young David Tennant, like, sure, but also young David Tennant looked like a child. He looked like a middle school boy. It hasn't been until, like, older Tennant stuff. Oof. Whoof. You see my pearls? I'm clutching them.
I totally agree with you. But that stuff was there with Eccleston. It's just that Eccleston plays it so much classier and it doesn't read.
Because that's a man.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking back to his second episode where they meet the trees and Chris Eccleston breathes on the trees. And they go, how intimate.
And Rose's mother immediately tries to fuck the doctor, and he's like, "Nah, that ain't happening." If you see that scene with Tennant, he's gonna be making Looney Tune faces. Oh my god!
I will say something that I have really enjoyed about Matt Smith is, particularly in the episode where Amy approaches him, he does just kind of turn into one of those little like finger puppet toys where you like press the button on the bottom and it's just like freaking out.
This is like a wacky inflatable arm flailing tube man.
Yeah.
I wonder how much of this Moffat had started writing before he realized he was doing a younger man, because like imagine Jim Broadbent's in the role of the doctor but everything else is the same.
See, that's the thing, and that's why I'm like, I do know, like, spoilies, Capaldi's next. I'm so excited for Capaldi.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just because it's about time we've got a gentleman.
It was just a very funny thing to describe Peter Capaldi as.
I know. Well, because my only frame of reference is Fires of Pompeii.
Yeah, well, so the reason it's funny to me is that the thing that one of the most famous things Peter Capaldi did besides Doctor Who is a political satire show where he plays someone that works in the British government, but he swears like nobody's business. One of his most famous quotes is just, "Fuckity bye."
Amazing. A gentleman.
You're a real boring fuck. He calls people fucks all the time.
A gentleman.
It's one of those where it's just very funny to call him a gentleman, knowing that the thing he's known for outside of Doctor Who is artistry with the word fuck.
Yeah, and only a gentleman can be an artist with the word fuck.
What's our overall thoughts on our cheese ratings?
Oh my god, this show a cheese rating now too?
Why did you bring all this cheese here, Jesse?
This is my brand! Enjoy it!
I'm lactose intolerant!
And I've lost so much weight, I can't be eating all this cheese.
It'll bind you up, you'll be full for days!
Zach, oh no! My mouth is getting full of you.
I am the cheese lord! I was Zach the whole time!
Cheese lord? I've been Zach the whole time. Isn't it obvious?
Isn't it obvious? I, the cheese lord, have invaded your podcast, ruined it, you might even say, and now I am going to disappear forever, or maybe until Capaldi.
Yeah, you'll disappear for now.
Well, he'll certainly disappear from the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed. I got to say it again!
So I feel like that went pretty well for our first real guest host episode. I've got a couple other ideas for future guest hosts we might invite on, but if you've got your own ideas, be sure to send them to us on Blue Sky Threads or Twitter at WIMDPod. That's WIMDPOD. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast if you haven't already, and leave us a like or 5 stars if you enjoyed this episode. Next week, we're going underground to meet some scaly lizard people. This better not awaken anything in me. Guess we'll find out next Tuesday, because your Tuesdays are now Whose Days.